from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, September 14th. Coming up, survivors of gun violence deal with physical and emotional health consequences that can last for years. We'll learn more from Side Effects Public Media's Fatih Yusri in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Republican Illinois gubernatorial candidate Darren Bailey supports an ad that shows a woman getting attacked in Chicago's Lakeview neighborhood. Alex Degman has details.
The ad against Democratic incumbent Governor J.B. Pritzker is produced by the People Who Play by the Rules PAC. It uses private security footage that captured video of the attack and the woman's terrified screams. Bailey says he cannot coordinate with the PAC by law and has no control over what it does, but he thinks the message is important.
If they are making crime, helping make people aware of what's going on, I think that's a good thing, because things aren't going well here in Chicago or Illinois.
Bailey has spent much of his campaign ridiculing Chicago as a hellhole and now compares it to the movie The Purge. But he's now living in the John Hancock Center off of Michigan Avenue to, quote, immerse himself in the city's culture. I'm Alex Degman.
The state's utility watchdog is rolling out a new guide to help buyers considering an electric vehicle. David Collada is executive director of the Citizens Utility Board.
We are now past the phase of this being a fad or potentially may fade out. I mean, I think transportation is clearly going to electrify going forward.
Collada says that's why it's important that people have information to make an informed purchase. The guide offers a checklist of key questions to help consumers decide if an electric vehicle is right for them. The EV Buyer's Handbook also notes state and federal tax incentives available for the purchase of electric vehicles. Seven community colleges in Illinois have won a total of $5 million from the U.S. Department of Labor. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, the goal is to help marginalized students access high-paying jobs.
Josh Chandler is expecting his first child in 3 weeks. He's currently a pharmacy technician, but he's not passionate about the work, and the pay is just okay. What he does love is blacksmithing, so he joined the welding certification program at Parkland College in Champaign.
Now, this one you do need to lift. I think
I wanted to get something going for my life where I can learn a trade and make a decent living and be able to like provide for my wife and my kid.
The Department of Labor money will help working students like Chandler so they can take and pay for just the classes that will advance their careers. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
Parkland will receive about $800,000 from the Department of Labor grant for new technology for their manufacturing labs. For nearly a decade, the University of Illinois student newspaper, the Daily Illini, has provided a database showing salaries for all university employees. Yesterday, the young journalist who created that resource returned to campus with an even greater claim to fame, winner of this year's Pulitzer Prize for investigative reporting. Eli Murray and two of his fellow journalists at the Tampa Bay Times earned the award for an investigation that exposed toxic levels of lead dust inside Florida's only battery recycling plant. The Illinois grad says winning journalism's top prize hasn't affected the work he's doing, but it has given him a boost of confidence. At 28, Murray says he's lost the nagging feeling he needs to prove himself.
I'm still fully wrapping my head around it because this isn't a position I thought I would be in at this point in my life. So for me, I'm mostly just grateful for the experience and for the opportunity to get to work on this story.
Murray spent the day talking with aspiring journalists at the U of I. You can find his Pulitzer Prize-winning work at tampabay.com. Still to come, a look at the physical and emotional consequences of gun violence for survivors. That story from Side Effects Public Media is coming up next on 217 Today.
The acclaimed dark and witty drama Guilt is back on Masterpiece for a second season. Without giving too much away, let's just say a lot has happened since we last saw Max McCall in the shocking finale of season one. Mark Bonner returns as Max, who is now in all-out revenge mode, working alongside key holdovers from season one and a new batch of misfits. Watch both seasons of the dramedy now as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Most shootings don't make national headlines, but the trail of damage they leave extends well beyond those who were struck by the bullets. Side Effects Public Media's Fatih Yusri spoke with a mother who's experienced this firsthand in a city dealing with a spike in gun violence.
When DeAndra Yates got a phone call that her seventh grader was shot, she rushed to the hospital, frantic, hoping she wouldn't be asked to identify a body.
The sheriff met me and said,
your son didn't do anything. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I said, no, he was in the right place at the right time because kids should be able to go to birthday parties.
Her son, Dre, was at his friend's 13th birthday party on the northwest side of Indianapolis. They just sang the happy birthday song when a stray bullet from the street shattered a window and pierced young Dre's skull. It's been 8 years and no one's been charged. But DeAndra suspects
some young person made a terrible decision that has altered my son's life for the rest of his life. And that is the beginning of our story.
Dre survived, but he's paralyzed from the neck down. After shootings, the focus is usually on the number of deaths. But for every one gun-related death in the U.S., 2 to 3 people are injured, says Lauren McGee. She's a criminologist at Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis.
Non-fatal shootings are more prevalent and are the majority of gun violence that every city experiences.
Yet, very little is known about the survivors. As part of her research, McGee combed through medical records and police data to try and understand the ripple effects of non-fatal gun violence in Indianapolis. Her team found that in the 2 years after a person survives a shooting, their mental health needs increase, and the toll extends to family members and entire communities.
One of the greatest public health crises I think our generation will face right now is gun violence.
Sociologist Ruby Mendenhall at the University of Illinois has conducted similar research. She studies the impact of gun violence on the health of Black women in violence-stricken neighborhoods in Chicago. She says more than half of the women in her study reported symptoms of PTSD and sleep issues, and nearly half struggled with depression. Mendenhall says one woman who lost her son to gun violence said she couldn't taste food anymore.
That was something that they used to do together. They would always cook and eat, and that was their thing. And she said that she actually started going to like expensive restaurants to try to like get food because she had to eat.
The negative impacts of gun violence are even greater on siblings of victims and young children. In some cases, children experience more serious mental health issues than the survivors themselves. That's been true for DeAndra's younger son. He was only 10 when Dre was shot. She says suddenly he was helping change diapers for his teenage brother.
That's a big deal. And there were times where he was the only one in the house, so we had to do it. He would have to help me change him, bathe him.
For caregivers, there's also the economic fallout. Dre needed multiple surgeries, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars. Insurance covered most, but they had to pay a good chunk out of pocket. DeAndra had to go back to work and also send Dre to a special rehab facility, which she was told would help his brain. But there were no such facilities in Indiana that would take a patient as young as 13. The closest was in Carbondale, Illinois, 280 miles away.
That's when I lost my job because he kept getting sick while he was there. And so I would have to go and do extensive hospital stays.
This was 2014. Since then, gun violence in the U.S. has only gotten worse. Now researchers and communities have the challenge of figuring out how to address this growing and persistent public health crisis. I'm Farah Hussari, Side Effects Public Media.
Side Effects Public Media is a regional reporting collaboration focused on public health. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll have sunny skies today with a high of 81 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Tim Shelley, Emily Hayes, Chris Evans, and Farah Yousri. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.